Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shaziz the Turbo! All rise for King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Awe, 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 awe
nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures
pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, it's old King Shazizz the Terrible. If you notice, I threw a picture up in the chat room over there at Awake Radio and actually tweeted it out and put it on Facebook as well. It's a little picture that caught my eye one day. A little squirrel in a suit of armor, shining suit of armor with a little shield there. When I first saw this picture, I thought it was really good for the Knights of the Round Table. It's if you go over there to the podcast page on the Knights of the Round Table, which I'll go ahead and throw that link in there in the chat room as well. You'll see that picture among other pictures out there, and it says that even the smallest knight can make a difference. You know, we get on here, we talk about all the different things going on in this world, and we talk about how to fix it and where it's all coming from. It's a grueling task that we have in front of us. When I look at this page over here at the Knights of the Round Table, I can scroll down, I can see we're at, it's pretty long down there. We're at Knights 136. This is the 136th episode of the Knights of the Round Table. Also on this page, you'll find links to other people out there trying to make a difference in the world in their own way, you know. And if you got some sort of thing that you're working on out there, charity event, or trying to raise some money, funds for fundraiser, or something like that, and need some space to post some links for people to see, then just give me a holler. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about trying to put forth the positive pebbles in the pond that makes this world a better place. It's actually links all over this site right here. There's one that did some time back, and it's a picture that's on the Knights of the Round Table. It says, "Say what's on your heart and most profound letter of peace to the world." Say it to the world. If you could say whatever it is that you wanted to the entire world, what would you say? You know, I reading comments through some of the different social medias out there, I would kind of hate to hear what some folks would say. They haven't figured it out yet. As hard as that may seem to figure out, it's really quite simple. What you put out there in this world it comes back to you. Comes back to you with a vengeance. You know, the knight's code of honor. Let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and the love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. That's what it's been all about. Sure, we've had our ups and downs and so on and so forth. That's life, you know. Also, there on the Knights of the Round Table podcast, there's a picture of a bunch of people around in a circle. One person standing off to the side. And it says on there, this picture says it all. You are the missing piece of the puzzle that they're all looking at, trying to figure out. You know, life is a puzzle. It's one big old mystery. It's exciting. It's depressing. It's frustrating. It's all the emotions wrapped up into one. There's so much that we could be doing with this world that we don't. And we could actually solve all the issues of this world together. And so the Knights of the Round Table was to come together and bring brilliant minds from all over the different nations of the world. You know, regardless of what your personal spiritual beliefs or journey, your walk in life, one thing stands true, we all have to live on this rock together. I sat back and I listened to all the different things that's happened out throughout the entire history, from everything from religious to non-religious to this and that, Planet X, Nibiru, doomsday scenario after doomsday scenario is what you hear about. Tune into the mainstream media, you're going to hear about the shooting. You're going to hear about all kinds of stuff. The world's a terrible place according to the outside, you know. I don't see a terrible place. I see a place that's lost its way. I see a place that needs hope. You know what? There's a ad that put on there, a banner ad for a friend of mine, Roxby Health Supplies over there in Australia. They're trying to show people how to live better, you know, give them some healthy food. You know, and it's just one of many different individuals out there trying to do something, anything. Anything's better than nothing. There's also a picture on there. It says, every new day comes with new hope and a chance for a better world. The choice is up to you. You can make a difference. Join the Knights in our quest to make it so. It's been a whole lot of Knights of the Round Table. From all different nations, from Ireland to Scotland to Canada, Australia, all over the world. Came together, and maybe at some point they just got frustrated and went on down to fight the dragons of the world. Maybe they figured there was something else out there. Maybe there is. The only thing that I can say to anybody out there, doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can be a defender of the faith, you can be defender of the peace, and defender of love, and defender of one another. You can throw smiles out there and positive pebbles and share your heart with the world. Heck, it's easy to add to the chaos. Jump over there on Facebook and just watch. Just sit down and watch the chats. You'll see what's going on out there. And you'll be amazed whenever you realize that you throw your little piece of word in there, that it just floods on down in the social media stream. Gets washed downstream. People's putting their lives out there. They're putting their hopes out there. They're putting their frustrations, their angers, their little bits of wisdom. Just trying to reach out to the world and communicate with one another. That's all they're doing is trying to shout out to the world and trying to tell everybody what it is that they feel. What do they feel is the most important? There's guys like Mackay Electric out there that put in news about things that's going on around in the world, things that's going on YouTube, and other folks out there doing the same thing. Alternative energy researchers doing amazing work. Sometimes not getting any credit, more of getting hassled from knuckleheads. And looking down on my Facebook right here, and I'm seeing a picture of my son with rabbit ears, and I'm seeing a picture of my grandbaby Rylance on the Easter egg hunt, and my other grandbaby Coraline doing the same thing. And I look at those little faces, and I say to myself, you know, I got to make this world a better place. I got to do whatever it takes to make this world a better place somehow, some way. And time has pretty much taken its toll on me as a human individual here. Getting old, I'm not as strong as I used to be. You know, whenever you're growing old, they're growing up. It's a wonderful world that we could create for all these children of the world. There ain't no need for all the wars. Got pictures on my Facebook right here. Posted my wife Beverly and Coraline sitting down and drawing pictures together. And there's stories. So many stories out there. So many families. So many stories. So many good, bad events. Life is one massive... It's an experience, folks. It's an experience that some folks decide they want to take it down the wrong road. You know, you often hear me say on the Knights of the Round Table about there's children in foreign lands that are starving and sick. I've been seeing this for over 30, 40 years of my life. I've been seeing these things come on TV talking about sending money to feed the starving children or whatever. And it breaks my heart that when I was a child, when I first saw one of these, and here I am, an old man, and I still see them. It doesn't take no 30 or 40 years to solve starvation in the world. Not in a world such as what we live in. You know, in pretty much every environment out there, you can grow something. And if you can't grow something in that particular environment because it's too dry, you can pipe water in. The earth is 3/4 covered in water, for Pete's sake. There's more water under the earth. So it's not like we don't have the technology or the knowledge to do what's right. It's all about willpower. And that picture with the little knight on there. The little squirrel in the knight suit. That's what I feel like right there. I feel like that little guy. Got my little shield, my little sword on my side, and I'm out here, and I'm fighting the big beast out there, and I'm telling everybody, come on, come on, you know, jump in the fight, help me out here, you know? It's raining and storming outside my house. Hope I don't lose power. Anyway, when I look at that, I think about the overwhelming task that we got before us. I think about things that a friend said. If you go over there on the Shaziz radio.com and you look down on the super chat room, and you'll see a little fireplace right there in the in the screen, center of the screen, underneath the chat rooms. It says, come sit around the campfire with all your brothers and sisters from all around the world. Together we can figure out ways to make our world a better place. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. It's over 7 billion people on this planet, some of which have lost their freaking minds. Some of which decided that for whatever reason they think we got to run around and jihad people or do whatever they can to grab up whatever they got. Think about this for a second. It's ironic that all these folks out here, the wealthy and super elite of the world, and even all the way down to the poorest individual on the planet. If I could magically wave my hand and throw diamonds and jewels and gold everywhere on this planet, just cast them at the feet of everybody, all over the ground, and everywhere you looked, all you would see would be diamonds and gold and jewelry. People would run around immediately and they would begin to gather them up and they would feel their pockets so heavy that eventually their pants would fall down. And then eventually somebody's stack wouldn't be as high as somebody else's, and then they would begin to fight over all the jewels and everything. Never once recognizing, with the exception of the small minority, that there are individuals out there who get it, that would say, look, there are so many diamonds, there's so many jewels, there's so many gold, so much of everything around. Why fight over it? Just share it. And that's the same way that I feel about this earth. There's so much. You know, you go to a family get-together and you can sit back. I do this a lot. I sit back and I watch as my family get together and they have dinner and they fill their plates up with food and they're sitting around talking. And I watch how some of the family members will fill their plate over the top and then they can't finish it and it ends up going into the trash. Now, that's not make my family member a bad person. No, but it kind of breaks my heart because I know what it's like to be poor. I've been there. I know what it's like to be hungry. I've actually been there. And so I got this weird way about me to this very day where I'll literally stand back and I'll wait for other people to get their food first because I want to make sure that they're provided for. And ironically enough, I won't touch it until they get done, until they get what they need. This doesn't make me a better person. It just makes me that I understand because I've been there before. And I look out there and I see all this stuff going on in the world. And I see about the children that are starving in the world. I would give them the food off of my plate. It's a shame that we can't figure this out. In my example, we're standing around and there's diamonds and jewels and gold and silver laying everywhere. I mean, there's just so much of it. It's all over the ground. You're picking it up. You're filling your pockets. You're filling your sacks. You're building this huge pile, and now you're standing on this huge pile, and you gotta guard it away from somebody else because they'll see it laying on the ground and they'll come and take it. It really tears me up inside to see that kind of mentality going on in this world. You know, I made a few people angry, and they ain't been around since. My point of views, and sometimes I get a little riled up. And I'll sit here and I'll do this myself over and over and over again if necessary, just to keep on repeating words of wisdom out there. Am I the wisest man that ever lived? I highly doubt it. I'm just an individual who looks out there and I see this world in the state that it's in, and I listen to the people and the sicknesses that's going on around. And I know there's a better way. I've seen it. And I can go back over and over and over and over again and keep trying to warn the world about something coming down the road. And every time I get back, it's the same. It's the same over and over. If you're standing on a beautiful rock that has all the resources available to you, and you have a storehouse that is acres wide and long, and it's just full of merchandise, and you got to hire guards to watch it, you know. You got to hire somebody you can trust to stand on your gold and keep an eye on it. You yourself, who are the elite, aren't free. You're a slave to your own success, and you don't even realize it. The poor man that looks up at the castle and he sees that castle and he says to himself, "Man, I sure wished I could get rich so I could live in that castle, because that is so beautiful." And then there's the humble man who doesn't even have a home, that just walks around and watches everyone else as they bump into each other, argue and fight and fuss and try to grab up their little piles and their sacks of gold. You know, the value, the true gold of this world, it hasn't got nothing to do with anything that you could hold in your hand. It's not a tangible piece of silver or gold or diamond or any fancy jewel. It's not an idea. The love, the true gold of this world, you carry it around in your heart. And it's a never-ending well. You can dip from that and dip from it in buckets, but by the bucket load, you can pour it out. You can put the biggest nozzle in all different directions, and you can pour that love out continuously on a regular basis and never, ever run out. We all argue over the source of our being, you know, our God, or our views of the world, you know, whatever, however we got here. None of this matters. Wherever the source of the love that's in your heart comes from is, in my mind, where the true origin of God stands. You can love your brothers and sisters around the globe without fail, without ceasing, and never run out. How many smiles do you have available on your face? That one gesture that just shows up at the right time to make somebody's day better than it was before. You know, fame and fortune and finance, none of that's worth it. None of it's worth it if you can't live in freedom, if you can't truly know and feel what it is to be free. Everybody needs a roof over their head, and everybody needs food in their belly, and everybody needs things. They need fresh water to drink. They need love from the brothers and sisters around the world. But you can't buy it. You can't buy it. And you can't sell it. It's a gift that was given to you on abundance. You just got to give it away until everybody has some. If everyone in this world had love in their heart, then we wouldn't be talking about the things that we talk about. And the evils of this world, as bad as they may appear, can be defeated by something as simple as that little idea right there in the middle of that screen, that little squirrel in a suit of armor, the smallest knight. He's running around in the midst of chaos, shouting out to the world, whoever will listen, lend him an ear. Can't we all just get along? Look what we've got here. We've got diamonds and jewels galore. You could fill up your pocket and try to stack your pile higher than the guy beside you. Or you could share amongst everybody, and everybody has equal. It's not just common sense. It's the power of love when you care about your brothers and sisters around the world. You think about taking your children and sending them off to the military. And then, for the most part, they go and they do their time and everything's good, There ain't no war going on. And then they did the proud thing. They went and served their country. But then the one time, I was born in 1965. Do you know what was going on in 1965? Vietnam. I was born when there were other young men over dying in a foreign land. I was born as someone was dying. I was born into a world that made no sense to me whatsoever. 1964 was the very last year that they made the silver dime. 1965 was the year that they started cheating everybody on the dime and the quarter. 1965, Vietnam. People were dying on the battlefield. It doesn't have to be like this. It never has had to be like this. The experience that everybody's running around, experience such as life, the ups, the downs, the trials, the tribulations, it never had to be that way. If you follow the book, the Holy Bible, and it talks about the Garden of Eden, we could argue about who's right and who's wrong, or how they got there, or why they got kicked out, or whatever. The fact remains that here we are in this world. Instead of making the best of a bad situation and start cleaning up the mess, just went our separate ways and started gathering up what we could for ourselves. The hunter-gatherer is what they call it. Go out and provide for your family, war with the neighbor tribes, and try to take over land. But when you take that land and you look back through history of all the different kingdoms of the world, you soon realize that a kingdom doesn't last very long here on earth. That another kingdom will rise and conquer your kingdom and take your castle away, take your gold and everything, possibly take your life and your family's life as well. Some evil behind the scenes stirring the pot. Hey, look at your brother. He's got more than you do. Your brother's got a larger piece of cake than you. You should go over there and beat him up. Steal his cake. Take them both. And once you got that both pieces of cake and got them all in your belly and you're looking over at your brother, do you feel any kind of remorse that your brother didn't get none? And now you got a bellyache from eating too much cake? Your pants fell down because you filled your pockets so full of gold your belt couldn't hold it anymore. And then when you died, you went to heaven or wherever it is you go from there, just as naked as the day you were born. You didn't take nothing with you. You didn't bring nothing in. You ain't taking nothing with you. It's amazing how that works out. You know, if people could stop just for a second, just to understand the complexity and the glory of everything that is, that we have before our very eyes, the resources, we could travel the stars together. We could do anything we want. However you figure we got it, we were given free will. We were given a choice. Over there on that Knights of the Round Table podcast page, the picture that I talked about there, scrolling down to it as we speak, and it's profound. It's a picture of a sunrise or a sunset, however you want to look at it. Every new day comes with new hope and a chance for a better world. The choice is up to you. You can make a difference. Join the Knights of the Round. Join the Knights in our quest to make it so. It don't got to be the Knights of the Round Table. You know, that was just a thing to put together to bring people together. Start your own round table. Join in on somebody else's. Be a problem solver rather than a problem cause. Find and seek the solutions and share them with your brothers and sisters. And just do it respectfully. Man, because there's one thing that we do have that is in such overabundance, and that is flat out the lack of knowledge and ignorance and chaos. Take and bring all your families together and set them down. Let them hear one of these podcasts. Let them sit there and drive all their anger towards me. Oh, well, this guy's just talking out his eyeball. He's ranting, he's raving, or whatever. Let them focus all their negative energy towards me. Maybe they'll join together as a group and work together as a group and focus it in on me. This guy is delusional because he thinks that you can make this world a better place. Well, if we can't make this better place, can you look into the eyes of your children and your grandchildren? Can you look deep into their eyes knowing that you didn't even try? Now, I was a child at one time, and I had adults that took care of me. I had some adults that steered me in the wrong direction. Got some words of wisdom, and got some negative as well. The potential to make somebody's life or break somebody's life is so simple. You can only imagine the power of the spoken word. At some point in your life, you're going to have to take a step back. You're going to have to sit down somewhere out there in nature. Just find you a rock or an old tree stump next to the ocean or the stream or a pond or a lake under the stars or even the sun in the sky for that matter. And just sit down for a second and shut up and listen and contemplate. You know, nature will talk to you if you're willing to hear. In my mind, that's our Creator whispering in our ear, telling us. There's so many wonderful things in this world, it's mind-boggling. We can sit idly by and we can complain to one another. We can fight amongst each other. You know, I've heard it. I've seen it. I've heard and seen it all. The stories, the conspiracies, the craziness, the just total madness and chaos that is within this matrix that we call life. And if you want to go for a ride, step in that stream and let the current drag you down. Climb down that rabbit hole and see how deep it goes and in how many different directions, up, down, sideways, and whatever. But if you want off that roller coaster just for a brief instance, go sit down and listen. Don't talk, just listen. You would be surprised at what you will hear. So, why do I say what I say? Why do I even do what it is that I do? Because for some crazy reason, when I was born in 1965 in that era of Vietnam, and I started seeing from day one, you know, the very first thing, the doctor smacked me and sent me out into the world. And I watched, I listened, and I observed, and I seen it all. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see. I've seen love, I've seen hope, I've seen despair, I've seen death and destruction. And I know that on this side of the fence you can get everything you want. You can get all the drugs and the guns and the money and the women and the craziness. Rock and roll, live hard and die young. And on this side of the fence, you can have peace and harmony. And that out there in this world is enough. Enough food for every belly, enough clothing for every individual. Enough materials to make a roof over every single head. I've seen what it is to live with nothing. I've seen what it is to be poor. I've felt what it feels like to have an empty belly. I know sadness. I know anger. I know frustration. I know sickness. I felt what every single one of you out there feels. I know your stories. And my heart says, I do what I do because I think it's that important. That little squirrel there. He's got a little suit of armor on. He's going through the battlefield of life. And he's making an attempt. He's at least making an attempt to conquer the evil that lays before us. You know, one thing's for sure. I just said the evil lays before us, but the evil's not... standing still. It's not immobile. The evil crawls all over everybody and his brother 24/7 trying to steer you down a path to total chaos. I try to bring a respectful radio network to you. Try to ask those out there not to curse and to be respectful to one another. Because I get it. Not because I'm any better than anybody, because I'm not. But I get it. The path to negativity only breeds negativity. The path to positivity breeds positivity, and it's depending on which seed you want to plant into this world. There are solutions out there. And the solutions that we talk about, they're us. They're you. They're me. And they're your children of the future. You raise them up with wisdom. You raise them up to think, to love, and to feel. And there's your pebble right there. That eventually one day, down the road, you may not even live to see it. But one day, those fruits of your hard labor will make a difference in this world. The only disagreement that I have with other members of my faith is that they don't recognize the true gift that we've been given. It's always, everything's written in stone. There's nothing you can do about it. It's written in stone. It will come to pass no matter what. But on one hand, you think about miracles and what constitutes a miracle, and you would think that the Almighty God Himself could literally create a miracle, raise the dead, heal the sick. And you think about what He had created when He created each and every one of us. The amazing power to literally move the heavens and the earth and put them just at the right place at the right time and do what it is that has been done, including you. And then gave you a choice to do or not to do whatever you wanted with your entire life, to create or destroy. And so in the depths of my heart, I am seeking a miracle of epic proportions. I am seeking the ultimate miracle. On the road that we are on, we are leading to sure destruction. That's without a doubt. That's not even in question. But can we, as humanity, come together and do what it takes to literally bring about heaven on earth? The book and history says no. But my heart, it says yes. It says that the creator of our world gave us the potential and gave us the resources to literally feed and clothe every man, woman, and child in their future generations to come. Said there's enough gold on this planet for everyone's pocket. There's enough food, there's enough water, there's enough air. But following all the way back to that little scenario where I'm telling you I'm throwing gold and jewels and diamonds and silver and shiny things all over the ground, and everyone's running around and they're grabbing it up and they're putting it in their pocket. It's hard to stand back and watch. Stone Lee says in the Bible, unless these days be shortened, that then shall be the end. But suggest that we can shorten those days. We could shorten them. We could shorten them with World War III. We could shorten them with liquor and guns and drugs and murder. We can shorten them. But regardless of what the book said, regardless of what everyone else on this planet said, in my world, in my life, in me right now, I am still seeking the ultimate impossible miracle to save the beauty that I see around me, the possibility, the potential, that one day, if all men came together on this planet, all men and women were suddenly to realize what laid before them, that the potential, the need, the that could be put out there. Every child having a home, and every child being fed, and every man, woman, and child taken care of. Is it an impossible goal? The chances are, yes, it is an impossible goal. It is the biggest of all dreams. It is the biggest of all fantasies that somehow or another, something I would say or something I would do would make a difference in this world enough to motivate the entire world to start cleaning up the mess that mankind has created on this beautiful work of art. And as crazy as I may sound, that's me. That's me in a nutshell. I have the dream. I have the dream. I've seen where we're going. I know where we've been. I know how we got here. I know why we're here. I've seen it. The road that we are on. I don't know what to say. All I can say is peace and love.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
In constant sorrow all through his day, trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. No pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunbeam Valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Back 世界人类的和平.
May peace prevail on earth.
Puisse la paix régner dans le monde.
Да будет мир человечеству во всем мире.
Que la paz prevalezca en la tierra.
Pace mbretërofte në botë.
Selam dhe mulla ala misë.
Խաղաղություն ամբողջ աշխարհի մարդկությանը.
Ака ура пенха сума хаканя утхупа.
Yaşasın sülh bütün dünyada.
Несума каладаму тукулукука.
Нехай будзе мир чалавецтву ва ўсім свеце.
Бішэ шанти вірач корук.
Намай піс істап лонгвол.
Нека мир завлада на землі.
Нека прибыде мира по света.
Кава людамя ніньяні яшивазе.
Сом ай і пупло ман санти піп.
Папас какава на мунду.
Que la pau prevalgui a la terra.
Entendere ukale pazikula pansi.
Amani o haruma e dunia kamili.
Pour la paix s'imayer dans le monde entier.
Que la paix règne dans le monde.
Atmir vide varne nazemi.
No, fred herske på jorden.
برقرار با صلح در جهان
دنیگا امانکن دمهت و امدیوه
موه فرید هیرسن اف ارده
زملی دنالو دیگی پیسن سوچو جی
اولکو مایلمس راو
ولید کن راو ها مایلمسا
تایه ای قسم شویدو بام تلم سوپلیوش
موگه فرید اف اردن زین
Εύχομαι να επικρατήσει η ειρήνη στον κόσμο.
Τεκόπου αουαπούτενον δε τέκο αραπού λεχέ.
Ισρέ σαλόμ αλέ αδαμότ.
Βίσμε σαντι ρεχέ.
Λέγε φρίδε ρίκια αουγιόρθ.
Και ετοίμε το ατυρώ λιωνάπ.
Σμούγα δάμε δι δούνια.
Κορεύ σιωκόν.
Τάουεν.
Και λα πάτσε ρένι σου λα τέρα.
Адам
запқа бүткөу дүниеде бейбітшылық болсын.
Амахору наганзы күйсі хосы.
Амахору йоса сагара мүйсі йос.
Теге үлі туага ирупе дұру.
Асты бұ хаму джихан.
Түйінеді тұнштық болсын.
Хохай санды пап, чонг ми ю найло.
Лайбут мир пасауле.
Фриден мат алле мэншен об да вэлт.
Тэвуна пасаулия тайка.
Нека мирот завладее на земята.
Ладян бека офэлден.
Инга ни ханчака эра ни зау туту луи зау ни фанчия паха демана.
Смога дама е ди думия.
Яллал пачи ди салтан фиттиня.
Hemang na rumo kiyong ay itikinwa. Ay naman enter lalim.
Fie pache te pamut.
Tayan bisi ing samot ng bag.
Enim meg iyaw yat yep.
Bisso ma santi fayli rahos.
Mokta devar fred po yuren.
Abu da bulim sisi rablul ar.
Talibi sola panarikse.
برقرار باد صلح در سراسر جهان.
پیس مس استاب لونگ ورلد.
نیک بنج پوکوی نا زمی.
کی پاش پروالیسا نو موندو.
تکسی مویو پی پالین کاوس ای کاچون.
یمالو پیل فیل موی للا لولان.
سیریری ادوچی ناندوچی سیسی.
خوزو ایبتی لفاتی.
А кахисо иннетен моу лефатен.
Новеги самая паватива.
Гутула агубесем сабени.
Нех покой жди владне на земи.
Най мир завлада свету.
Дуниду набат аку варто.
Амани на юе по дуниане.
Му фред рода по юден.
Санай манатили ang kapayapaan sa daigdig.
Barkaror botsul dar jahon.
Pumil samadhan milabattum.
Dame ba mundu tomak.
Khohai santi phap tong ma su lo.
Salam ab alam nisfan.
Swatawangi ketok amirino imamani koto.
Dunyada barish daim olsun.
Dunyada tarahatsilik bolsun.
Que tu mal te file mu и te la lolan.
Хай буде мир людству у всьому світі.
Дуньоми аманкайна.
Дуньода тинслик бойся.
Толчук пабе
cho toàn nhân loại trên thế giới.
Mental wounds not healing, ruin wants to play. she rang the terrible and the knights of the round table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Been joined by my buddy Steve. And so, with that said, I want to say something here. You know, some folks is at work right now. Some folks is in bed right now. Some folks is all over the planet doing all kinds of things. There's so much going on in this world. It just moves so fast. How could you jump from one point to the next from trying to throw positive pebbles of peace, hope, and love to crazy train and all the way down to flirting with disaster and so on and so forth? The world is full of kings and queens that blind your heart and steal your dreams. And it is a battle between heaven and hell. You know, your version of heaven, my version of hell, may be two totally separate things, but in reality, we've all seen both sides of that particular coin. We know the difference between good and evil because we live it on a daily basis, and it is a struggle to try to cope with reality as it stands. Things aren't easy to just go out there and do. But the power that lies within every individual out there is undeniable. You can make somebody angry just by the look on your face or the words that come out of your mouth or the actions that you do with your body. And so with that said, there is so much potential in every human out there, and there are 7 billion people on this planet. A lot of them individuals are out there trying to kill each other right now. For what? We know they want resources, they want to stack up their piles of gold, they want power. And at the end of the day, they ain't taking it with them. You're going to go to heaven or hell just as naked as the day that you were born, or maybe you'll just go back into the darkness of the abyss and never even existed, depending on whatever it is that you believe in your life. Doesn't matter to me whether you're an atheist, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu, a New Ager, or whether you think the Illuminati or the Freemasons or all the different world conspiracies and doomsday prophecies are real or not real, whether the aliens exist or not exist. The fact remains is that we're standing here on this beautiful rock, whether it be flat, round, or concave, or convex, or inverse, or reverse, or whatever, and we have to live on this boat together. I've been shouting it to all 4 points of the compass, trying to bring about some sort of common sense that would build up into a wave that would in turn bring a tsunami across the globe, to try to see if it was even physically or humanly possible to send something out that would make a difference in this world. There are those who believe that you literally create your reality as you go, that we are like in the Matrix. We're batteries that make the machine function and tick and so on and so forth. If that's the case, and there is absolutely nothing that I can do to change this reality for, at the very least, myself and my own personal family and grandchildren, if I've literally created this entire chaos, and I would say that it's up to me to try to repair the damage that I have done by my mental instability of the world. So with that said, I do what it is that I do because I have this strong urge to try to make this world a better place. And it's an overwhelming task. There are solutions as simple as a smile on your face. When you're walking down the road and you see somebody not looking so happy, you walk up to them and smile and lend them a hand. It's that simple. The solutions have been there in front of your face all along. The answers have been there. The resources have been there. But everyone out there in this world looks out at the entirety of the deal. You know, no house gets cleaned unless somebody picks up a broom. I'm picking up a broom. The only way I can pick that up at this given point in time is with the resources that I have available, and that's the words coming up out of my mouth. Now, I can clean my own property over here. I can even go down and help pitch in on the neighbor's property. But I can't travel to each and every one of you and build a house for you or put food in your belly, although if I had the potential to do so, that's exactly what I would do. I understand what it means to be a friend, a brother, a sister, a caretaker of this world and all of my brothers and sisters around the globe. I think that if I could bring the dream team together, the brilliant minds from all different nations, we could literally solve all the issues of the world. But as it stands, a shout from one end of the earth to the other, because all I have is my voice. I don't have the resources. I don't have the armies. I don't have the funds like the governments of the world that do the damage that they do. I don't have the power of the corporations. Nor do I have the power of something as simple as a street gang. All I've got is what I have in my heart. And as much as I pour it out, and as much as I can be ridiculed for my ideas and my beliefs, that's what makes me. I have a dream. I have an impossible dream. I have a dream that one day that this world could live in peace and everyone would be provided for, and that is why I do what I do. And like I've said this many times before, I will be standing in the midst of the apocalypse when the buildings are burning and the dying and the screaming and all the torment of the world, and even when I die and maybe even potentially go stand into the biblical version of hell, while I'm standing in the midst of the fire, I'm still going to hold on to that dream of, can't we all just get along? That's me in a nutshell. If I'm in hell and I'm burning for eternity, I will be trying to comfort anyone around me just to make the world a better place. That is the dream. Since I don't obviously want to go to hell, nor do I want to live in hell, I want to try to make this world a better place. I've been to so many parties in my lifetime, and there's either somebody who wants to fight or there's somebody who wants to cry, and nobody who wants to just laugh and have fun and get along. And every party, every good bunch of apples is always destroyed by something as simple as one bad apple in the batch. That's all I got. All I got is a dream. If I lose the dream, I die. It's as simple as that. So I continue to dream, just like everyone else out there in this world continues to live. You have dreams, hopes, and aspirations of things that you want to accomplish in life. My dreams, hopes, and aspirations are to try to make this world, to try to benefit this world, to make it better than the last 49 years of my existence on this globe. I mentioned that I was born in 1965. Vietnam was going on during 1965. I mentioned that I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see. And it wasn't pleasant for me to see. Things weren't pleasant for me to experience. I have not enjoyed 1 second on this planet. Because I see this world for something that others can't visualize. I see the potential. I see the waste of something that's so beautiful, so much capabilities, and yet humanity hasn't figured it out. The solution, it starts with each and every one of you. That is the solution, and it always has been. It's always been your free will that when the sun comes up, you have a choice on what to do. I'm only responsible for my own personal actions. And in my lifetime, I've been rowdy. I've done a few things that I shouldn't have done. I've said a few things that I shouldn't have said. And now I'm trying to make amends for a lifetime worth of bad decisions. I'm human, just like everybody else. So, brother, how's it going on your side of the globe?
our friend Cleophae just sent me a text message there. She's been in hospital for a month.
What's wrong with her?
Respirational condition. I'm actually getting feedback from the hospital right now. And I know some of you guys pray. And it's a big ask for me because I'm not a religious man. But if you could send some positive thoughts her way, I think she'd greatly appreciate it. She's one of us.
Well, I'm sending my love as we speak, brother.
The solution's everywhere, you can see. What do you do? The average lifespan in the Philippines is 55.
You know there's people in the Bible that live to be 500 and 900 years old?
I don't doubt it in the slightest. What we've been told and what we've been led to believe is healthy and is good for us. Well, that's like the laws of physics, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just an opinion.
If the wool has been pulled over all of our eyes, no matter which way you want to look at it, in which direction or another, whether we've been we were seated by aliens or divine creations of God Almighty Himself, regardless of how you want to look at this world, the fact is always going to remain. We are down here. And there's an old saying that I heard back in the day that if life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. You don't throw the lemon and black somebody's eye and add to the chaos of what's already going on.
But what if they give you dragon fruit?
If they give you dragon fruit?
Yeah. It's like a Vietnamese fruit that looks a bit like a big round pineapple, but with not as many sprouts coming out the side of it. And it's either pink or white in the middle with little seeds, and it's kind of bland and tasteless. Can't really do much with it.
But is it edible or nourishing?
Not really, no. It's like cauliflower. It has no benefits whatsoever from what I can ascertain.
Well, do a little research and see if it repels mosquitoes or bugs or anything. You know, there's got to be some sort of purpose under the sun for every single thing under the sun. I mean, a mosquito's annoying. What purpose are mosquitoes?
Guys, go and Google dragon fruit. It's a Vietnamese fruit. Doesn't really taste of anything much whatsoever, but it looks pretty cool.
Well, then it could be art.
Well, it's like you said, if life throws you lemons, you make lemonade. But what if life throws you something that just seems totally irrelevant and useless? Can you not just appreciate the aesthetics of what you've been given?
Yeah, well, if it tastes terrible, but it looks beautiful, set it on the mantle, or, you know, you got art, you know. Do some artwork with it.
It kind of doesn't taste good or bad. There's just not really much of a taste at all to it. It's bland. Most people in their life, they get thrown blandness, wrapped up with a load of rules and regulations that restrict their capacity and ability to be able to create a quality of life for themselves and their family.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the way things are supposed to be and the way they've been working really hard to make sure they are. But it doesn't have to be that way, because you don't have to have dragon fruit. You can have mango, or you can have pineapple, or if you get really, really crazy, you can have tomatoes, which are actually a fruit.
Well, you know, you hit on a key point, and you say pretty much the same thing that I'm saying, but just with some different terminology. Life is a buffet. It's a learning experience. Life is painful. I like to reckon life to being like wrestling a cactus. If you could imagine running barefoot across the hot desert sand up to the 6-foot-tall cactus like you see in the cartoons, it looks like a dude standing there. And you wrestle that thing to the ground, and then you stand up with all the thorns that are sticking out of your face and your body, and you're going, "Yo, Adrian, I did it! It hurt like heck, but I did it!" You know, that's life. Nobody gets out of life alive. If you can get from point A to point B and accomplish something in the process, then that's the best you can do with the best you got. That's the making the lemons out of lemonade. You know, is my choice any stupider than anybody else's choice out there? I wouldn't think so. All I do is I dare to dream. I dare to believe that we have more potential than what we give ourselves credit for. Life isn't all about doom and gloom. Life is about glory and beautiful. If you step back long enough to take a peek at it, sit down on a stump and just listen to nature. Nature's talking, you know? And there's things that we could do to work hand in hand with nature on a daily basis. But the thing is...
What, like animal husbandry?
No, man.
See, that is definitely working hand in hand with nature.
And see, that's the thing. On both sides of the coin, man, there's a negative side, there's a positive side. And this is why I go into the whole, about the whole cursing thing. All right? All right, well, so what? It's just a word. But words have meaning, words have power, you know, and if you want to put a respectable point across to somebody, you don't have to dwell onto the negative side in order to try to project power, you know. All you have to do is put your point out there respectfully and hopefully that somebody gets some sort of benefit out of it. I mean, if you look into a room of chaos, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to go in there as a peaceful man. You stand in the middle of the room, can't we all just get along, and you get the crud beat out of you. 99.9% of the time when you stand in the middle of the room and you shout, can't we all just get along, everyone turns around and shouts in your ear, no.
Or jumps in your head and kicks your teeth in.
Yeah, I could just run in that room, flip off the light switch, and then start swinging my fist and feet in every single direction, taking out everything in sight, and add to the total chaos. We've got enough chaos. We've got wars in Afghanistan, we've got wars in Iraq, we've got wars in all over the place. There's wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famines, pestilence, everything out there under the sun. And then on the alternative media, there are doomsday scenarios galore. The new world order is coming to get us. They're going to drag us out of our house, take us to FEMA camps, chop our head off with one of the 30,000 guillotines they've stored up to us. All right? Well... okay, let be what it's going to be. You know, there's a song out there by Drowning Pool or something like that called Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. You know? And essentially, I could step back and I could say, can't we all just get along? And everybody says, no! Well, then I push the button on the song and the song cranks up and it's like, let the bodies hit the floor, and everybody's rushing in there and they're just mopping each other, and the last man standing is the king of the hill. That's not a solution for me. That's adding to the chaos. And so I do what I do. I preach to what I preach. I say what I say. It comes from my belief that is in a book that 98% of all the people out there on the planet disagree with in some form or fashion or another. They don't believe that there's a God out there. And if they do believe that there's a God out there, they don't believe it's my version. And I can't say 150,000% beyond a shadow of doubt my version's correct with all the ludicrousy of all the lies and disinformation that I've received throughout my entire life. All I can tell you is this, that through all the chaos that I've witnessed in my entire life, the things that I have seen, I have stood next to a dying individual. I've watched things that no man or woman should ever have to see in their entire lifetime. And I step back even further. I've seen hunger. I've felt hunger. I've seen death and destruction and disease of epic proportions. I've seen it all. And the only thing that stands true in that entire deal, out of all the mess that we see out there in this world, is one little four-letter word that is universal no matter where you say it or how you say it. And that's love. And if all I got to give to the world is some crazy words with a little bit of love and some peace and hope, if I'm doing it all for nothing, if there is no kind of hope, no kind of chance, no kind of dream, when the dream dies, I die. The dream is what keeps me alive. If I stop dreaming, If I stop having hope, if I stop having faith, if I stop believing that there's a God in heaven that one day may come down here and bring about heaven on earth or a chance to at least go to heaven. I've already lived through hell, Steve. I've seen it. I've already lived through hell. I can tell you exactly what it's like to stand in the depths of hell. And I don't want to live there. I don't want anyone else to live there. I see an earth that's underneath your feet, and it's underneath my feet, even though we're miles apart. And that same earth is feeding me, just like it is feeding you. That same earth belongs to you, just like it belongs to me, just like it belongs to everyone else on this planet. And my solution, my ultimate solution that I figured out throughout this entire deal, outside of my own book of faith, which I'll never be able to get everyone out there to agree on, nor will I be able to get them to convert to Christianity or anything else like that. All I can do is lead by example. But my ultimate solution for this world is to recognize, to get people to recognize the potential, not only in themselves, but in this world as a whole. And as long as they're fighting amongst each other, as long as they're arguing over who's right and who's wrong, they're missing out on everything. They're missing out on their children. They're missing out on their wives. They're missing out on their family. They're missing out on life. I don't live my life in fear. I live my life in frustration and sadness because I see what could be and I can't do nothing about it. I've lived...
No, sorry, mate. You are doing something about it. You've been doing something about it for a hell of a lot longer than I'd like to admit. You've been doing something about it ever since I met you, and do not put yourself down by saying you can't.
Well, I do the best that I got with what I got to work with. I'm taking those lemons and I'm trying to make everybody some tasty lemonade.
You wanted stainless steel and they gave you aluminium, but you'll work with what you got.
Yep, I can make a hat with an aluminum foil, and I can make a shirt with aluminum foil, and some shoes, and, you know, hey. But that's the key, Steve, is, you know, in my general area, I can help out everybody out here. I've got things to work with. Not, you know, all hope is not lost. It may not be as pretty of a house as you would love to have. It ain't going to be the castle on the hill, but, man, if I can tear off my garage to build you a house, you know, I don't need that garage. I can't take it with me. I don't have anything that I own, any physical object that I own that is of value to me. I have objects that are sentimental because of somebody and the way that they presented it to me.
Shaziz, I just dropped a YouTube MP3 into you there.
If I'm going to play it on the player, it's on the wrong computer.
Oh, bugger.
I can play it live.
Go for it, mate. I'll send you the YouTube link. Because I'll tell you what, it's from 1986. It's a song by Madness. And it is all about what we've been saying. There's no doubt about that. And it's family orientated.
Well, I'm a downloading it as we speak. I'll see if my network will allow me to shift it from one computer to the next.
Very possibly not, as 1 hour remaining.
It's
speeding up. I'm supposed to have 100 meg broadband.
Well, I've got some pretty hot firewire over on this side. I should be all right.
Well, it's not so much the how fast your network is, it's how fast I can get it to you. I threw the YouTube link in there.
Here's a better plan. I'll stop this right here. Send the link in the Shaziz chat room, and I'll try to do some magic.
Okay. So I really need to do some maintenance on that site for you, mate, as well, mate.
Yeah, but, you know, like, you've seen the Star Trek, the old version of Star Trek, and Scotty down there, and he's like, you know, I can't get any more out of it. I'm giving it everything she's got, Captain. You know, she's coming apart.
He still got that extra little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Every time he said he couldn't do it, he could.
Duct tape and bailing wire, brother. That's what it is.
I'm running out of names on Chatango. There you go, mate.
Alright, cool. I'll get this in a minute. Do 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 do. Alright, this ought to be interesting. Okay, let me see how I can do this without blowing in there and making a ruckus. And alright, do 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 do. I've got to hurry up, and when that comes on, stop the button or it's going to play right out of the gate. And you have the commercial going on, you know. So, you know, that's modern technology for you. It's fascinating stuff, man. And I'm telling you, if people could only realize the potential that we have right before our very eyes, right now. I mean, it's amazing. It is so amazing. I can talk to somebody who I otherwise never would have ever had the pleasure of meeting in my entire life if it hadn't been for this internet. However, one also has to be aware that this internet is also, it's a trap, man. This is that simple. It's a trap. So I'm putting this in. We'll be up and running here in just a second.
It's a band called Madness.
So is it one of them RRR bands, or is it...
No, they're actually based on Jamaican ska.
Yeah.
There was a whole... The original skinheads in England were not neo-Nazi fascists that like beating up black people. They're actually kind of big into their reggae music. And there was a whole cultural sort of joining between the Jamaicans that came to England to work on what they call assisted passage in the 50s and 60s. They were our bus conductors. They were our ticket collectors. They were, you know, people that came to England to do work that we really didn't want to do at the time, because we were too busy trying to rebuild London after having the snot blown out of it by the Nazis. So we needed people to come and help repopulate the country, literally. And for kind of a long period of time, the Jamaican community was getting on very, very well with the English community, because they came with a different culture, a different mentality. They were kind of laid-back people that enjoyed life. They enjoyed family. They enjoyed music. And these were all the things that the British were deprived of during World War II. They had nothing. 85% of the food in the country was grown in people's back gardens. So you got these kind of pleasant people that are laid back, you know, they're not stressed, they got good food, good music. You know, that's where Madness came out of, because a lot of the guys that would have listened to when they were growing up were people like the Scatolites, Prince Buster, Judge Dredd, all this sort of Jamaican music, and they took that to a new level in the early 80s, and this is kind of the stuff that they came out with. Well, they did a lot of cover versions of Jamaican music, by the way.
The song's up in Sam, and so I'll play it for you. And before I do that, I just like to say that's one of the things that I love about you, brother. You've been all over the place, you've seen a lot of different things, a lot of different cultures, and you do have an interesting view on the world, I gotta say. But you know, hey, that's what makes you so special. And
what I'm trying to say is, we asked people to come to England in the 1950s and 60s to help us, and they did, and we got a major cultural change through our music, through our food, through various different levels that we'd never had before. And then people came in and tried to twist it.
Yeah, and you know, I pretty much think that goes with everything good out there. You know, It's everything could be going along perfectly smooth, and in rolls the knuckleheads, in rolls the trolls, in rolls the shooters, or whatever you want to call them. And then it's come right on in and just start. You know what? There's a movie back in the day called Gremlins. That pretty much explains it all, you know. Don't feed them after midnight or something like that, or they turn into these little green creepy things that run around bashing town. You know what I mean?
Well, some people may have a violent disagreement with my perspective of the way things worked. I mean, a lot of the people that greeted and meted the Jamaicans when they first came to England were not very nice people.
Yeah, there's been some pretty rotten individuals out there. I mean, Genghis Khan probably wasn't one that you want to invite over for your picnic.
Well, I'll tell you this, Shaziz. The Green Party, the radical elements of the Green Party, wanted to give Genghis Khan a global warming award because he murdered so many people that he significantly reduced the carbon footprint in Europe for nearly 300 years.
Are liberals mentally ill?
Well, I wouldn't say mentally ill, but I'd say they really need to pull their head out of where the sun doesn't shine and start looking at the material that they're releasing. And do they really want to put their name to that?
Yeah.
Now, that's a strong question that needs to be asked. Are you trying to say that a genocidal maniac should be given an award because he murdered so many people that it led to so much population reduction?
Yeah, there's folks out there who honestly believe that humans are the disease of this world.
Maybe we are.
Well, you know what? If we're the disease, we're also the cure, because we both have both sides of the coins. Everybody has a rotten side to them, and everybody has a good side to them, and you have a choice whether or not you want to use one or the other. Most folks like to choose the other because it's easy, you know. It's just fun, you know. Hey, go out and fist fight or carjack somebody or loot or pillage or vandalize or whatever. Yay, that's exciting. That's fun. You know, the whole police chase in the TV kind of scenario. You know, never mind the repercussions of how many people you affect in the process, because that's not your problem. Hey, there's no life after death. I'm going to live it like I can live it right now for every single second, and that's that. No biggie. Hey, what do I got to lose?
Well, Shaziz, I would like to dedicate this next little track to a very good friend of mine that I've known for nearly 12 years. She's suffered a lot, and she's given a lot as well. So if you could sort of just roll that on. It's kind of designed to uplift people, because we talk about serious subjects, and sometimes the information can be quite heavy.
Yep.
But also, within the medium of music, it can tell you what you need to hear without necessarily making you miserable.
Alright, well, here we go. Wings of a Dove by Madness. So everybody stay tuned. You're listening to tonight's Roundtable.
Thank you.
Aziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. And so what have we learned from today's rant and music and discussions in the chat rooms and all the different things that we've come together and seen and heard? Well, the whole entire world, we know the problems of this world. You got to have some you time, you know? You got to have some time where you go out and you sit back and you contemplate and you just listen to what's going on in your own environment. Some people call it grounding, where you take your shoes off and you wander through the grass and you feel that energy underneath your feet. And it feels good. It's almost like freedom. And in your own personal privacy and safety of your own yard, in your own little piece of the world, there is a touch of nature right there for you. You know, unless you live right directly in the midst of one of those compacted cities to where there's so much smog around, but you can always get on a bike or in a car or something and drive way out to the countryside and just get in tune with what nature has to offer. Instead of breathing in the smog, breathe in the fresh air out there. And put your feet in the grass and just feel it. You know, standing on the side of the ocean shore and listening as the waves are crashing it, you know. I've been in the middle of the ocean. I've been on the side of the ocean. I stood on the deck of a ship back in 1984 in the middle of the night, and it's amazing how many stars there are in the heavens. You can look up, and it's so peaceful and pristine out there, standing on the deck of a warship, but yet in the midst of peace and harmony. And you could feel the wind and smell the air off the ocean, and you could see every single star in the sky. And no matter which direction you turn in a full 360 degrees, you don't see no land. All you see is water. When you stand there and you look up into the sky and you can feel the rocking of the ship underneath your feet, nature moving that giant metal ship back and forth. And you look deep out there into space and you start to contemplate on how small, how insignificant problems of this world really are as opposed to the grand scheme of things. There's so much wonder and beauty that is out there. And I wish that everyone could see what it is that I see. I'm looking at a screensaver on the computer that has a mountain range in the background with a beautiful blue sky. And in the valley you see a river running through. And it's amazing. It's a true work of art. The snow-topped mountains, the beautiful greenery, it's a true work of art. Standing on that deck of the ship, I realized that this world was so much more than meets the eye. Standing on the seashores in Florida, I could see the waves and listen to the waves crashing in as I was sitting there looking at everything. And it's a serene and almost a lonely feeling at times, because you think about, you know, I wish that everyone could sit here and see what it is that I'm seeing. I wish they could understand the wonders, the miracles of life in itself. Some of you I know have witnessed this kind of stuff. My buddy Steve, he's a wonderful photographer. He's got some pictures all over the place that are just amazing. And he's managed to be able to capture beauty in flowers and bees and birds and whatever.
In Kabul.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you go, there's beauty everywhere, mate. You got to find it. You don't have to look too hard either.
No. It's one of the resources I'm thinking that the majority of the average Joe overlooks. You know, I give this example one time a while back, standing there looking at this old abandoned piece of property, this trash just piled up everywhere. And right in the middle of that trash, nature popped up a beautiful flower. Right in the midst of that trash. Nature always has the last word. No matter how tough we think we are, nature will have the last word. This planet in itself is a wonder. You know, we run around and we make our messes, and nature just comes right behind and takes back what we're not using. And for folks just to totally step over miracles on a daily basis, it's something as simple as a honeybee on a flower that you step over in your yard. There's things going on that have nothing to do with you, but yet have everything to do with you. Life-sustaining pollen coming from this bee to a flower to another flower. Nature working in harmony with nature, and if only man could actually figure that out to do what it is that nature already does. We don't have to give up our fancy houses, but we can make our fancy houses work in harmony with one another. Well, everyone should have a home.
Here's a question for you. It's kind of a silly question, but it's got a point. If NASA say that space is a vacuum, why do they get so worried about their spaceships crashing into stuff?
Huh.
There is no such thing as a vacuum. Everything is connected to everything else.
Well, see, the difference between science and common sense could be something as simple as the man that is studying science. Science is supposed to be something that you observe, you try to confirm by trying to, you know, prove it wrong or whatever. You know, factual information according to what you've learned. But some of the individuals in the science community, for whatever purpose under the sun, they don't want to get down to the brass tacks of what's right and what's wrong. They just want to keep their funding. So they'll say all kinds of stupid stuff.
Do you know that Nikolai was acquainted with a satirist in the late 19th century by the name of Samuel Clemens? And most people probably don't know, but his writer's name was Mark Twain.
Yep, Samuel Clemens.
And one of my favourite phrases from that incredibly intelligent writer was, "I never let education get in the way of my learning."
That is a pretty profound statement, man. Because if you want to talk about learning, the school of hard knocks is going to teach you a whole lot more than the schoolhouse up the street where these folks decided what you need to know about history and what you don't need to know about history, what you need to know about science and health and so on that you don't need. How is it that somebody else in this world can decide what's best for you to learn or not to learn? I say put all the information down on the table, let people look at it and discern and be free thinkers and grow. But knowledge is power, Steve.
Do you know why governments decided that it would be a good idea to allow freedom of information requests? I mean, how many documents does a government produce in 1 month?
Shoot, man, they probably got warehouse after warehouse of just digital documents.
Yeah, I mean, America's a population of 350 million. Then you put that down to the size of Africa, or China, or India. Even Pakistan is getting over a billion now. Every single one of those people has a government file with information on it, about their health, about their location, about their education, about their benefits, about their salary, what they do, what they don't do, and every 10 years they still want a census.
Well, and the contracts went everything from word of mouth to an IOU to a contract thicker than everything under the sun to cover every single base and every single possibility, because no longer is a man's word worth its weight in gold. Now it's got to have the blood of your firstborn on there that you're going to fulfill this contract. So not only do they have you in the bondage of all the different contracts and all the different documentation from what was supposed to be for your benefit to now basically having future control over you in case you decide maybe you want to run for office or such. They got some leverage against you so you don't get the power.
Well, it's like they're saying, we're going to give you a haystack of information, and we want you to find that needle in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Because if you do, it means you're growing up.
I can tell you exactly
yourself.
I can tell you exactly where the needle is in there. The needle's so easy to find, it's not even remotely funny. I mean, the needle is right under the black label that says redacted.
Yeah.
That's what they don't want you to find. They'll send you the information, but they're going to black out what you don't want. They don't want you to know. That's not freedom of information. That's censorship in its finest.
Look, an intelligent man can work it out for himself.
If there's aliens out there, just come out and say it. Look, there's aliens out here. They're green. Some of them are nice. Some of them are.
Well, the Canadian government has. An official spokesman for the Canadian government said there are alien races on this planet, and they've been here a while.
Well,
so have a number of South American governments.
So while we're wading through the cesspool of freedom of information and trying to sort out all the disinformation with the good information, the truth as opposed to the lies, if you can understand why everybody's so frustrated that they're arguing amongst each other, because nobody can get to the ultimate truth. The evolutionists as opposed to the creationists. Nobody was there when the firecracker went off, so nobody can tell you exactly how it all came to be, but yet we waste the time arguing. I say stop arguing over everything and start working towards a solution towards the problem, and the best start is to get in touch with what nature has already provided. Nature's an awesome teacher, man.
Do you know what the greatest gift that nature has ever given us is?
What's that?
Offspring.
Yeah, that's an awesome gift.
I mean, what better could they possibly do than give us all a second chance?
Well, you know something, this? That your child is a representation of you, you know? Your child is a part of you. Your child is your bloodline. Your child is a representation of the life that you've led. And, you know, just because you've led a rough life and you may have made some cruddy choices in your life doesn't mean that that's the way you got to send your child out into the world. You can learn from all the mistakes that you've made throughout your entire life and at least put the seeds of knowledge in your child's head that when they do come across that situation, they might very well choose the right choice as opposed to the wrong ones.
Now, let's say that there's certain individuals in the world that have neither the time, effort, or intellect to pass on the benefits and the detriments of their experience to the next generation. But if the Western world is so great, why do we keep finding all these small little villages and, you know, barely known tribes where literally to every single one of them they have a concept that it takes a village to raise a child, not one person?
Those folks that are responsible for that are literally the same individuals that want to give Genghis Khan a Nobel Peace Prize for global warming.
Exactly. just laugh at them when they come knocking on your door, when they start sending you bits to paper. Just don't take them seriously. It's not worth the stress, the hassle, the energy and intellect that goes into trying to fight them when you don't need to fight them.
I say live life and love, man. That's as simple.
Yeah, I mean, I've expended so much energy in trying to make the world in my own vision. It nearly drove me mad. But the simple solution to it is to say, okay, no worries.
and therein lies the motivational factor behind everything that I do, is because I can look out to this world and I can see this. I can see it, all right? I want everybody else to be able to see it. And so I shout to all four points of the compass everything that I say, you know? Sometimes I don't say things that say it in the right way. Sometimes I make people mad. But the ultimate goal is not for some sort of devious purpose to tell people, look, hey, there's a beautiful work of art on the wall. Somebody's getting ready to knife it up and throw it in the burn pile. What a waste. You know, I had a dream where I literally sat on the seashore and I watched the very last sunset of this planet. And the last words coming out of my mouth was, what a waste. What a waste of such a beauty, man. I mean, I don't care how this earth got here, all right? Whether it be in your view or my view, divine creation, or just a magical mistake or epic chaos or whatever, that however this thing got here. The wonders and the beauties and the resources that are at our disposal are mind-boggling. There shouldn't be anything going on in this world as what we've seen and what we've had to talk about. And as far as Planet X and all the different doomsday scenarios, you can roll yourself up into a bunker and you can live your life that rest of that way. But I'm going to live my life the best I can and try to lead by example until that rock smashes this beautiful rock into bits. You know, but if there is some just tiny shred of hope that all humanity could wake up and just for a brief instant see what it is that I see, and it leads down the road to the dream becoming a reality, even though that's a miracle of epic proportions that is so far and away from reality and the stories told throughout the history of mankind, it's still to me worth it. It's still to me worth it because I believe in miracles. I believe that our Creator gave us that potential.
We've all got a story, and I think Barry's joined us, isn't he?
Hey, how you doing, Barry?
Good day, gentlemen. How you doing?
I'm sorry about that, Barry. I was trying to get you a word in edgeways there.
Well, it's okay. You guys are doing a great job.
When I say that you should smile and be happy, guys, I'm not saying that you should let people walk all over you. That's a different thing. But if they bring war, you give them peace first.
Yeah.
You smile at
them. The good book says, "Blessed be the peacemakers."
Yeah. But if they want to really bring war to your door, then you stand up and you do what you need to do.
Well, I gotta tell you, I got that old human spirit in me, and if they come kicking down my door, I'm going to be throwing knuckles. I may be an old, skinny, raggedy-looking, wild-haired, mad science, but I'm taking somebody down with me on the way trying to hurt my family. I mean,
if they come kicking your door in, the best thing you can do is say, wipe your feet and I'll put the kettle on.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good plan. If they're slinging lead and axes and bullets and guns and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to try to defend what I got, you know?
If they're going to come in slinging axes and bullets and the rest of it, you got no chance anyway.
There's a chance. I'm probably doomed before it ever even gets to my door, but either way, I'm not going to live my life in fear of it, you know?
No, I've seen old ladies that they tried to evict, and she sat there and she baked them cookies. They kicked the door in, they tried to evict her, and she said, "Now dear, wipe your feet and I'll put the kettle on."
Well, you know,
and that's what are you going to do? There's some old lady there going to make you a cup of tea after you just kicked the door in. She's not afraid of you. She said, Ducky, I lived through two wars. You don't frighten me.
Well, of course, if it gets to the point where they're at our doors, then it's too late to do anything about it anyway, so we can't let it get to that point.
Don't give them the satisfaction.
Well, the solution is just as simple as not falling for all the BS that is you're exposed to. It's kind of hard to weed through the propaganda, what's real and what ain't real in a digital world such as what we live in. But it's all about, you know, Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. And that's pretty much it, you know. If you ain't paying attention, that's when they get you. You know, I ain't saying live your life as paranoid, schizophrenic, I'm living in fear kind of 24/7 bunker myself in kind of guy. I'm just saying a little bit of wisdom goes a long way, and you can learn a lot from nature. You know,
There was a guy in Singapore that passed away recently. President Lee Kuan. He was the founder of Singapore. Basically, there was a bunch of guys sitting around in the 1950s. Trying to get independence from the UK. Now, this guy set up a loose democracy, would be a polite way to put it. I can walk down the street with $500 in my pocket at 3 o'clock in the morning and nobody will bat an eyelid. I can see a guy have a few beers, fall over in the gutter, and he'll still be there in the morning when he wakes up and nobody would have touched him.
See?
The place is a garden, but it is a police state. If you throw rubbish on the floor, you get fined. If you shout and abuse people racially, politically, or religiously, you will end up in prison. Because it is not the behavior of an adult, and it's not tolerated.
Let's say it's sad that people can't become enlightened enough to understand that... Everything, every action you do, you know, why do we got to live underneath the government? Why do we got to live underneath the police state in order to have safety and whatever, you know? Nobody could actually sit out there and look and see the potential. And I put a deal out there. I said, if I walked around right now and I just started slinging gold and silver and diamonds and jewels everywhere in this world, people would just run around and they'd gather them all up. They'd weigh their pants down until they literally fell off, you know. That's just the mentality of the society that we live in. Instead of everybody saying, hey, you know, look, there's a gold piece down here. There's two of them. Here, you take one, I'll take one, you know. Instead of people understanding that if we took this world and we did to its full potential, we worked in harmony with nature and one another, could you imagine a world such as that? Now, in my book of faith, it talks about my Lord and Savior coming down here and making that happen one day. But in some demented portion of my mind, in the back of my mind, and in the depths of my heart, I see this deal. I'm like, you know, I would much rather my father come down here and all my family's getting along and everything's cool, you know. And could you imagine to put a smile on the face of God? Now, wouldn't that be cool? That's the ultimate dream, man. That we get it done, and when he gets down here, it's like, wow. Wow, you guys get it. You finally get it. You learn the lesson well. Maybe there's been history after history and civilization after civilization. I know at least one story in there, you know, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. I know that story, all right? Maybe there was multiple before. Who knows? I don't know. All I can say is this, you know, somebody got it wrong the first time. We started over a second time. We're getting it wrong again. Wouldn't it be nice if somehow or another we could all figure it out and we could put down the weapons of war and the destruction and the lies and the hate and the deceit and the propaganda, and we could start working together as humans with all the potential and resources that we have available? I know, guys, I know that that is not going to occur. I know that that's an impossible dream. But to me, It's the only motivational factor that I got left in this world.
I'll tell you what, I would rather live in a benevolent dictatorship than a hostile democracy.
Well, if there was a king out there that could wield justice better than the guy that is talked about in my book there.
Somebody asked me a question once. If taking 100% of what you earn is slavery, what percentage is acceptable?
Man. Barry, you got any words of wisdom before we get too far down here?
I had a thought, but it left, so I better step up for a second. Brain fart.
Well, I got the ramblings of a madman going on. I'm trying to explain to the world why it is that I'm the way that I'm at. You know, I can't tell you any of my ideas that are the right ideas. All I can tell you is what I think. And that's it.
We're doing this just because we can't shut up at this point in our lives. I mean, anybody that is aware of what's going on in our planet is fully aware of what's going on. The implications for our children in the future have to speak. If you're any kind of human being, you're compelled to speak. Every week we try and drive this message home, and you think you're not having an impact on people. Well, I'll tell you, you are having an impact on people. Just because every week they hear that this is something that's really pressing on our hearts, and we speak with our hearts here, and people hear it. And don't ever sell yourself short, my friend.
Barry, do you believe in miracles?
I believe in miracles, but I also believe in what the book says.
I do too.
I share your thought of what's going on in this planet. There would be nothing nicer than two people come together, but those divisions will never end in our society. Greed will never end in the human being. That's part of the nature of the human being is to be greedy. Until we eliminate that in the human being, which to me is almost impossible, because you'd have to change the whole thinking, the whole mindset of human race.
I understand that's
a monumental task when we have all the divisions that we have. I share the dream, but I don't believe it'll happen. I believe it's going to take a monumental event on this planet before society is at a point where they want to come together and fight what we see happening. But my fear is when we get to that point, it's going to be too late.
I understand that, brother. Here's the thing. Even if I die and I go straight to the biblical hell and I'm burning in the eternal lake of fire, I'm still going to be shouting to all four points of the compass, can't we all just get along? I mean, even if it's the worst of the worst, I'll be the last man standing in the apocalypse saying, can't we all just get along? It's that simple. That is just what makes me. Don't know why I'm crazy like I am crazy, but the ultimate dream, the ultimate miracle is what I'm shooting for. I'm going to reach for the stars, and if I only get a fraction of what I'm reaching for, this world is a better place. That's where I'm standing.
Well, if you have it on one person every day, that's a good day in your life, correct?
Yep.
Barry, let me show you a little vision that I had this evening on the way home from dropping the wife to the airport. I came across roughly 40 Chinese men and women who I would say were probably mostly retired, line dancing, semi-darkness outside a shopping centre in a big square. It's not brightly lit, but line dancing to Cliff Richard. You know, they seem to be having great fun. Have you ever seen a Chinese guy with a dirty, great big leather belt with a Texan belt buckle cord and a pair of big eye cowboy boots on?
I've seen some Japanese with some punk rock hairdos.
Yeah, I mean, the message gets across in ways that we don't always appreciate and understand.
Right.
I mean, what's line dancing? It's a formation and a community of people acting together in harmony. It's essentially what it is.
Those are the small miracles of life that I feel like people overlook, man. The small miracle of reaching down and giving a homeless man a hand up from the curb, you know?
I mean, I sat there and I watched them for about 5 minutes, and I wanted to give them all a hug. not particularly because they were line dancing, and I'm not particularly a fan of Cliff Richard either, but the fact to see a community working in harmony, it was so nice to see.
That's a rare thing in our world today.
Yeah, that people will actively, God knows where they came from. They could have come from all over the city. It's 277 square miles. But they decided that they would come together with a single thought and enact that thought and enjoy it as well. Because every single one of them had a smile on their face.
Rarity, in by its own definition, doesn't discount possibility, you know? Just the fact that he witnessed that miracle in itself, you know, it's there. It's out there in this world. I mean, you'll see it. Father flying a kite with his son, you know, it's a miracle.
I wouldn't say it's so much a miracle, but what we were designed to do. That's why we have empathy.
Well, in a world such as what we live in, and somebody could actually sit there and find a flower in a dump, that's a miracle to me, you know. I don't discount even the tiniest miracles. I found my keys. To me, that's a miracle.
Think of a cappella from New York from the, 60s, 70s? I mean, that came around because people couldn't afford instruments. They'd use trash cans and sticks, whatever they could get their hands on. But it wouldn't stop them working in harmony with each other to try and create something beautiful.
No.
Wherever we look, no matter how bad things are, there are people constantly finding ways to, if not escape it, then limit the damage.
Yep. They're making the lemons out of the lemonade, brother.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And the dragons out of the dragon fruit.
We're already going to run over, but if you guys got any last words of wisdom, that's time to go around the table. And sorry for, you know, rambling on, but I got this dream, guys, and I'm gonna hold on to it, you know, until I no longer exist at all. I will hold on to this dream because I see the potential. And if I am the last man standing on this planet to see the very last sunset ever to exist in this world, I got the words already ready to say, because what a waste, man. I mean, potential.
Sorry, mate. Charlton Heston beat you to it.
Well, he probably did. It don't surprise me, man, because every idea out there, somebody's already had, so I ain't special. I'm just me, you know. I love you guys.
Yeah, I'll just say,
Oliver, you know, people really should just have to do a little bit of history, and we really just have to look at what this planet was a short 200 years ago and what it is today.
Yeah.
And ask yourself why, and why have these changes come, and what have we laid down for a legacy for our next generation? And look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself if they're going to have the same things that we have. We can't answer them yes now. We've got to make those changes, that we are the generation that have to do it. If we wait much longer, we're not going to have this window of opportunity yet.
Yeah.
Well, Barry, just a quick note on that. How many generations have to sacrifice before we finally arrive at equilibrium?
Well, you know, we've been sacrificing for generations and generations and generations. Society hasn't identified that as what has actually gone on. We as a society have been brainwashed and duped to believing what is in front of us now is what is supposed to be, and that is so far from the truth. People, to me, all people have to do is look at history. Look at what history was, how it's repeating itself. Like I said, look at what the planet was 200 years ago, or even 100 years ago, what vibrant, beautiful creation this was, and where it is today, where we're seeing extinction events happening on this planet that are accelerating at light speed. We see the complete breakdown of our biosphere. We see the breakdown of all our agricultural systems on this planet. What is it going to take for the human race to leave? My question every day, I can see it. It's right in front of our faces. What are we doing about it? If we let it go any longer, we are not going to have the opportunity to correct the things that we see in front of us. That's all I can say there.
I agree. And with that said, we're already running over. I apologize to whoever's coming on after us, but the
message. Yeah, she's joining me today. She's on at 3:00 today. We're going to talk for energy, guys. 3 p.m. Shake and Wake Radio.
Cool.
Pacific, please join us.
All right, well, everybody, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Hope we benefited you in some form or fashion, put some sort of thought in your mind that is plants a seed that allows you to know your strength and your true power. You can make a difference in this world. It's, you know, but the time, we're racing the clock. And the message is urgent, you know. Pass it on to your friends. If you like what you've heard here, join us on the Knights of the Round Table and listen in on these shows. Help support all your individuals out here trying to make a difference in this world. So with that said, peace and love, everybody. You got anything last, Steve?
I've got the message, and the message is clear. Go and check it out on YouTube.
All right, peace and love, everybody. Y'all take care of each other, and don't step over the miracle without recognizing that one exists. Peace and love.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week. Yes. But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting. Yes, I see. By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs. Be quiet. But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more... Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king. Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony. Be quiet! But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you. Shut up! I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away. Shut up! Will you shut up? Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system. Shut up! Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed! Bloody peasant! Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're Knights of the Round Table, three knots when we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well,
on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Turbo. Always working to serve the turbo and the knights of the round table.